This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. My dad, unlike most dads, was a great reader of fiction, most voraciously of crime, mystery, detective novels. His one significant home improvement my whole life was adding about 60 feet of bookshelves devoted to his detective novels. As a kid, I remember noticing a surprising share of those authors were women. Agatha Christie, P.D. James, Martha Grimes, and then, in the last decade of his life, Sue Grafton. 30 years ago, she published A is for Alibi, then B is for Burglar, C is for Corpse, all starring a tomboyish 30-something private detective named Kinsey Millhone. And starting around G is for Gumshoe, they all became huge bestsellers, including her latest, V is for Vengeance. But while her millions of readers await W is for whatever, Sue Grafton has just published a collection of short stories called Kinsey and Me. And she is here with me now. Sue Grafton, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being with you.
So there are tens of millions of copies of all of your books about Kinsey Millhone out in the world. But for listeners who aren't yet acquainted, tell us a little bit about her.
Well, when I began this series in 1982, she was 32 years old. She has been married and divorced twice. She owns one dress. She cuts her hair with a pair of nail scissors, cusses like a soldier, very down to earth, and has a very wicked eye when it comes to observing human nature.
So she's kind of an everywoman, except that she runs several miles every day and solves crimes.
She jogs. It isn't running. Even she would admit that. But she eats a lot of junk food, which I can no longer do myself.
When the first one came out in the early 80s, it was kind of a big deal because your detective was this woman, this young, tough, modern woman. Did you have a sense as you embarked on this that the time was ripe and maybe overripe for such a detective in fiction?
No, I can't claim any prescience. I can't claim I was even aware. I just didn't realize there were no female private investigators. I was raised reading male hard-boiled private detectives. So when it came time to write a mystery novel, a crime novel of my own, my only thought was to play the central part myself. Because I was already out of my element. I didn't know what a private investigator did. I had to read up on police procedure and California criminal law and ballistics and toxicology. So I figured my only area of expertise was being female, and I better take advantage.
You started writing the Kinsey Millhone novels as a means, I read, to escape a successful career in TV writing, which is usually with the opposite of how it usually goes, where people who can't make money writing novels say, okay, I'm going to go into show business now. But you didn't like making a lot of money in Hollywood.
No. Well, I had done a stint in Hollywood because my second published novel, which is called The Lolly Madonna War, sold to Hollywood, and that was made into a film that came out in 1973. Fabulous cast. It was Rod Steiger and Robert Ryan. And
the young Jeff Bridges, right?
Yes, indeed. It was really a wonderful cast. It was a wonderful experience. I learned a lot in Hollywood, but I am just not a team player. I do not like to write by committee, and I don't like help. So in Hollywood, if you're not interested in collaboration, you just have no business being there, and it took me a while to figure that out.
Whereas writing novels, you are in control. You're the screenwriter. You're the director. You're everything.
I know, which is good news and the bad. When the work is going well, there's nothing better. When I'm stuck, I wouldn't mind having a small committee at my feet to help me through the rough passages.
There has never been an American TV series or movie version of Kinsey Millhone. How come?
Oh, well, for the very reasons I just detailed, I worked in Hollywood for 15 years, and I was guilty of adaptations, probably trashing the work of writers far better than I. I know what they can do. I know how destructive that system can be. For one thing, the first time that character is cast and an actress steps into that role, half my readers will be outraged, and I will also. Plus, they don't buy a book, they buy the rights to the character. And even in 1982, here's how those contracts read. They buy a character throughout the universe in perpetuity in technologies known and technologies yet to be invented. It's like, don't think so.
So you leave that money on the table knowing you're paying some financial price, but...
It's no price at all. I tell you, my peace of mind and my good nature are worth quite a bit of money. I just don't want that system coming after me.
This new book, Kinsey and Me, has 9 stories about Kinsey and a dozen or so highly autobiographical stories that you wrote many years ago in your 20s.
Yes.
These non-Kinsey stories, these ones you wrote when you were practically a kid, what made you want to publish them now?
My husband did a limited printing of these stories, the whole collection, in 1991. Of late, with social media being what it is, I've got readers clamoring, and I know it's a bold word, of really pressing me to do additional publishing. And since this book was largely finished, I thought it might be a good idea to give it a commercial airing.
Well, I'd love to have you read an excerpt from one of those, the one whose title I'm forgetting right now, but about living in as an adult in one's childhood home, in your childhood home in Louisville, I assume.
Yes, this story is called A Portable Life. The basement flooded in winter, water creeping up the basement stairs like a thief. Bats came down the chimneys and the walls in certain sections of the house were solid brick a foot thick so that the plumbing could never be improved. There would be occasions when my father would go up with a flashlight into the eaves of the house, and the air up there must have been 85 years old. The house was made up of oddities and improvisations. The laundry chute between the two bathrooms was boarded up, but a stale wind still blew up from the cabinet below. I would drop things into that darkness now and then, knowing there could never be a bottom to a pit like that, though there was, of course. One could run down to the basement and open the laundry bin to retrieve lost combs and doll shoes, old rags. When I was young, if I wet my pants, I would toss them down that chute, thinking that I would never be discovered in my sins. I hate to think, when the house was torn down, what the workmen discovered in a day's destruction. Messages I hid under loosened fireplace tiles in my bedroom. Old dreams boarded up in the walls. God, I'm glad I never saw that house torn down.
That is Sue Grafton reading from one of the stories in her new book of stories, Kinsey and Me, which is a lovely passage and makes for what I read, and you've said these early stories are highly autobiographical, essentially a personal essay. So I'm wondering why you made that fiction. Why not just, this is a personal essay about my home?
I think recollection is a fiction in its own right.
Yeah.
We do not remember everything. We remember what suits us, or we remember what gives us pain. If you will notice, if you have an argument with somebody, you can remember all the amazing things you said, but their silly points you quickly delete. So I think we edit without even meaning to.
This A is for, B is for, C is for thing was clearly a brilliant scheme to invent to start out with 30 years ago. Have you regretted it ever along the way of, oh, my God, I got to get to Z?
In some respects, looking back, I think what nerve, what cheek I had at the age of late 30s when I started that book, thinking I could do 26 novels.
Yeah.
For one thing, I had not even sold A is for Alibi. I sold that book on the basis of 65 pages. Never having written a mystery in my life, so I was flying by the seat of my pants. And when A was published, I had no guarantee that there would be a B is for Burglar, let alone C is for corpse, D is for deadbeat, and on down the line.
And how sad it would have been if you'd ended with E or F.
Exactly. I was happy to get through those letters. I was always waiting for them to say F is for failure. So yeah. I was really happy.
D is for when done.
In fact, there was a review of B is for burglar that said B is for boring. And I thought I would faint. However, I did survive that wicked comment.
And are you almost done with W?
Yes. I probably have, I would hope, fewer than 100 pages. I know where I'm going. I know what I need to do. And the question is, what is the exact order of events? What is the layering? What is the sequence in which information comes to her?
So of the 22 previous ones, by my count, 20 of them have been nouns and 2 of them have been adjectives, which are I is for innocent and L is for lawless. And I was thinking, what could W be? Maybe wicked, or maybe you just want to tell me.
I will not tell. For one thing, readers have so much fun trying to guess. And as a minute I shoot off my big mouth, somebody's going to be disappointed. But also, I have changed my mind on many occasions. When I thought K was for kidnap, so I blithely set off down that wrong path. And at a certain point, I realized that Kinsey Milhone is a small-time private eye. Kidnapping is a federal crime, and trust me, the FBI is never going to consult her. So I had to toss pages of notes, chapters of the book, and I came up with the title K is for Killer because I thought, well, that'll cover a multitude of sins. Doesn't matter what kind of storyline I come up with, it's bound to be applicable.
I really don't envy you having to come up with X and Z.
I know. X, see, I am hoping that by the time I write X, somebody will invent an entirely new crime. I hope it's going to be really good and juicy and nasty. And then I can just set out on that road.
Maybe. Well, there's some drugs, you know, Xanax or...
Yeah, you know. Xanax, like the killer Xanax.
So in you know, 3 years, you're going to be done. Do you have plans for post-Kinsey Milhone novels, or is that it?
It's going to be 8 years. It's been taking me 2 years per book. So when I get to X, I'll start that in 8 months after I get out of the institution they checked me into for finishing this book, you know, after I get my meds adjusted. And I don't know what X is. I don't have a clue. I know even less about Y and Z, but surely something will occur to me between now and then. And after that, I will be close to 80 years old, and I personally think I should be allowed to take a long nap and then party.
There you go. So like Philip Roth, you're gonna call it quits at 80.
I don't think so, because I don't know what else I would do with my life. I agonize through these books, and I pray, it's like every day, please let me get to the end of this book. Then I get to the end of the book, and I have about 4 days of wild freedom. I can go to the grocery store like at 10 in the morning. And after I do that for about 3 days, I think, this is so boring. You know, it's like life has no meaning and no purpose, so I have to come back to my machine.
So I guess it's like Dr. Johnson in London. When you're tired of writing, you're tired of life, and you're not tired of life yet.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Sue Grafton, thank you very much.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Sue Grafton's latest book, Kinsey and Me, is out right now.